Today's scripture passage is taken from Psalm 96, and I will be reading verses 1 to 13. May the Lord bless us in the reading of His word. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant, and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for He comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. And this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Today we are blessed to have Reverend Chua speak to us from the passage we have just read. May the Lord soften our hearts to receive from His sermon titled, Declare God's Glory. Reverend Chua, please.
Good morning. Many years ago, I participated in a cultural exchange program. It was sponsored by the Japanese government involving ASEAN countries. And as part of the preparation, months before the actual program, the Singapore participants had to go through a stay-in orientation. And during this residential orientation, we were required to prepare an exhibition on Singapore and a cultural concert to promote a mutual cultural awareness. And once during this residential orientation, after hours of preparation and rehearsal, it was already past midnight, and we were all very hungry. But we could not leave the camp. It was the rule. And at that time, there was no Food Panda delivery service. And what we had was only a pot of leftover green bean soup from dinner. It was supposed to be the dessert, but there was still leftovers. But in the camp itself, there was no cooking facilities. And it was already past midnight. So you can imagine that the soup was cold. And all of us, we were tired, we were hoping to have some warm supper. And as a group of very young people, at that time I was very young, as a group of very young people, someone came up with this brilliant idea to heat the pot of green bean soup with an electric iron. With an electric iron. But mind you, we didn't immerse the electric iron into the pot of green bean soup like the heater, no. But then we positioned the pot and the iron in such a way to maintain contact. And eventually, all of us enjoyed hot green bean soup. Can you imagine that? Well, that was quite amazing. But although it was a very creative way to cook, it was highly inefficient. And I think it is not a green way to do it. You waste a lot of electricity trying to do that. And after all, whoever invented the electric iron had designed it to press clothes, right? Not to heat up green bean soup. And I'm sure you would never use an electric iron at home to heat your green bean soup. Otherwise, you'd be so foolish, and it's such a waste of the appliance. Everything has its intended purpose. By the same notion, there's also a divine purpose for us as Christians. Electric iron has its own design purpose. We, as Christians, God has a divine purpose. We are taught in church that God created us to enjoy fellowship with God as well as to glorify Him. The Apostle Paul says, so whether you eat or do, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. We are all to glorify God with our lives. It seems so clear. Whatever you do, glorify God. Yet at the same time, it seems a bit general. How do we go about it? And of course, if our purpose is to glorify God, the natural question to ask would be, what would give God the greatest glory? Right? How do we go about that? Today's psalm hopefully will throw some light and help us think about this issue of glorifying God. We'll be looking at three aspects of declaring God's glory. From verses 1 to 6, it gives us the reasons for proclaiming God. And the second segment from 7 to 10 tells us the manner of glorifying God, of proclaiming God. And finally, the last segment from 11 to 13 highlights the urgency for proclaiming God. Let's take a look at the first section from verses 1 to 6. Reasons for proclaiming God. In verse 1, the word sing is repeated to build up the mood, as it were. If you look at the Psalms, very often certain words are repeated for emphasis. Right? It was like the crescendo in our musical score. Those of us who know music, you know that there are certain marks on the music score to emphasize that this is where you need to go louder, right? For emphasis. And it is as if we're calling people to praise God. Right? Let's look at the verse. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. It was repeated, the word sing. It's repeated. It is a call to sing a new song. Right? Actually, this new song is mentioned twice in the book of Revelations. And each time, it is mentioned in praise of the Lamb that was slain. Meaning praising Christ who died for us. Salvation. It was a song celebrating divine deliverance or God's blessing. It is not simply a newly composed song because it says new song. Naturally, it includes a newly composed song, right? But more importantly, it speaks of the fresh response from the heart that will match the freshness of God's mercies. I'm very thankful for this morning's worship. First of all, of course, the songs, they were not new, but as I mentioned, it's not just new songs, but it is a new response from the heart. And the song also reminded us the mercies of the Lord never cease, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, His mercies never comes to an end. They are new every morning, right? Because God's mercies and His steadfast love, they are new every day. So should our response be. Our response must be new. Singing the same song doesn't matter, but it must be a fresh outburst from our heart, right? So all of us who have experienced God's blessing are called to sing and praise God. Now, coming back to the exchange program that I mentioned earlier, actually, it was a ship program, and we were traveling from one country to another country because it involves many countries. And participants, upon reaching a particular country, must perform a musical item, right? It could be a song or a dance to promote cultural awareness, right? Can you imagine your senior pastor dancing? You can't now, but I used to. Most of the participants from the various countries, they were very musically inclined. I think we are also familiar with some of them. The Filipinos, the Indonesians, they sang beautifully. Right. Those of us who have been to Indonesia for some mission trips, or you have attended some Indonesian worship service, wow, the singing will cause you to tremble, because it was really very, very, not just loud, but very beautiful, right? And the Thais, the people from Thailand, they are superb dancers, really superb. Sometimes you wonder how can their hands be so soft, but they really dance very well. And in comparison, Singaporean, nowhere we can compare. We were not musically trained, those of us who were part of the program, right? But since every country had to perform, we performed as well, right? And honestly, we only sang a song. We have been hearing a lot of them during this period, National Day, a lot of songs about Singapore. We sang those songs, all right? And we didn't blend very well, frankly. But the interesting thing is that the response from the audience was surprisingly good. We could never imagine. In comparison, we could not compare with the other countries. But the response was very good. And we later found out that despite our lacking in singing techniques or vocal refinement, our enthusiasm won the hearts of the audience. We could not win by singing. It was our enthusiasm, right? So similarly, when we look at this new song that's mentioned in this psalm, it is not confined to a freshly composed song. Rather, it is the fresh outpouring of praise, right, from our hearts that God is looking for, right? So it could be a traditional hymn, or it can be a contemporary Christian song. The Lord is pleased when we sing with a fresh outpouring from our hearts. Right? And verse 2, it says, praise his name. Actually, perhaps we are so familiar with scripture and psalms, but it is quite odd to praise somebody's name. Can you imagine? In our daily lives, do you say, I praise your name? It's very odd. To praise somebody's name is very odd. You say to praise somebody, right? But to praise his name, right? It sounds odd. But what does it really mean? What is in a name anyway? One of the Oriental traditions that has been practiced through the generations is the particularity in the naming of a child, right? It is important to name our children wisely. Some of us might have encountered some of our friends with very interesting names. Sometimes the names put us, cause us to laugh. I used to have a friend, a classmate, his name was Paul. And his surname was Chan. So his name was Paul Chan. And in Cantonese, that means Paul Chan. That means you are broke. Bankrupt. And yet I have another friend whose name was Michael. His surname was Tan. So it's Michael Tan. My guy Tan. Somebody who sells egg, right? So the name, if you don't choose carefully, it can become a joke. Mm. And as such, we are very careful. And as parents, names that we choose reflect the aspirations or the qualities we hope to see in the child, right? So some parents chose the names of great Bible characters. So we have David, Paul, Esther, Ruth. These are all very good names. And others look for very meaningful names, meaningful Christian names. Like, for example, our missionary's name, Zhu Ying, the voice of the Lord. It's a Christian name. Right? And in case we are not aware, the name Sophia in Greek means wisdom. Right? And Zoe in Greek, it means life. Right? So we choose meaningful names. We hope that our child would aspire to become like the name that was given. Right? Names are very important, not only in our Oriental culture, but also in the Hebrew culture. And because in the Hebrew culture, the name is equivalent to our modern concept of personality. Right? Hence, not only does the name of the Lord carries authority, it reflects his reputation. It reveals his character, his attributes, and divine essence. Hence, to praise his name is to praise God for who he is, the righteous, holy God, the God who amazingly reaches out his gracious hand to rescue sinful people from hell. That's what it means when we praise his name. Right. So in verses 2 to 3, notice that it was mentioned here two dimensions concerning proclamation. Right. Let's take a look at it. Saying to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. So there are two dimensions. One relates to time, day after day, right? Non-stop. And the other concerns the scope among the nations, right? All people. And of course, we see that the Israelites, they personally have experienced how God rescued them time and again from their surrounding enemies. And today, we as Christians, we have every reason to celebrate God's salvation. He has delivered us from sin. That is a great celebration that we should have. And today, in view of Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross, all of us who put our faith in Christ have experienced the deliverance from the bondage and the power of sin. Out of joyful gratitude, we ought to spread this good news of Christ's victory over sin. Just as we have been liberated, we want to share that good news. The news of God's saving work should continually be spread near and far until all peoples and nations know about his glory. The cultural exchange program that I mentioned earlier on, right? It was on board a ship. Part of the program was carried out on board a ship, and the ship, the name of the ship is Nippon Maru. Right? You can take a look at the next slide. Right? Do we have the next slide? Yeah, right. That was the ship. That was the ship that we were traveling on, right? And it would sail from port to port, those participating countries, ASEAN countries, and eventually to Japan, right? And as we were on our way to Japan, as we were sailing in the South China Sea, the water got choppy, right? And many of us couldn't take the rough journey. And those of us who have been traveling in the open sea, you know what I mean. People like Dr. Ashley, Phyllis, who have been on board the Dulos, I believe you have encountered rough sea conditions, and it can be very terrible. I don't think you want to repeat that experience. But to alleviate seasickness, right, we were advised to get out of the cabin, to go outside, to the deck, right? To get some fresh air. That would help. And while we were out there on the deck, we realized that at every turn, you see, there was no land. Just sea. Have you experienced that before? Everywhere you turn, it was just sea. Right? It was quite a remarkable experience. There is no land even beyond the horizon. You could see the waterline. And at that moment, you felt so small, really small, because the sea was so vast. You felt so vulnerable. And suddenly, it reminds us of what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, he gathers the waters of the sea into jars, and he puts the deep into storehouses. Can you imagine? The sea that is so great is nothing compared to the God who created it. Right? And of course, indeed, God's handiwork in nature is magnificent. But the God who created it is even greater. The greatness of God is not only seen in creation. Of course, if we have time to marvel at creation, we realize how great God is. But his glory is also reflected on the cross of Calvary. When we see God's love for us. In view of his wondrous work of creation and salvation, let's proclaim him among all the nations. He is the only true God, the Creator and the Redeemer. Don't stop declaring God's glory amongst the people, because he is the one who is worthy of our worship. Let us now take a look at some of the concrete expression of how we can go about proclaiming his glory, right? The manner of proclaiming God. Right? Now, first of all, of course, God expects proper honor to be given to him and in recognition of his greatness, majesty, and strength. To ascribe glory to God is an act of worship. Right? Worship may be expressed through singing, praying, praising, as well as giving of our money, as we have been doing, right, this morning. And not only money, but also our talents, our time, in fact, our very lives to God. Now, normally, I believe all of us, after a long, tiring week, most people look forward to sleeping in on Sunday. We hope that we could rest a little bit longer, or perhaps wake up later and have brunch instead of having breakfast separate from lunch. Or some of us may want to use Sunday morning for leisure activities, or simply just to keep the house in order by doing some household chores. I'm glad that all of us are here. All of us have given time and priority together to worship God. You could have done something else with your time, but you have chosen to come to worship God. Worship requires sacrifice. If there is no sacrifice, there is no worship. If everything is so convenient, then you cannot call it a worship. If there is no effort, if there's no offering of your time, your resources, then you cannot call it worship. Worship, in fact, is costly. If we only worship at our convenience and without any cost involved, it is not worship at all. But what can we offer to God in our worship? It's a question that we need to ask. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. That's what the scripture says, right? But what can we offer to a God who is holy and owns everything? He lacks nothing. What can you offer to Him? What kind of sacrifice would be fitting for such a God? Apostle Paul says that to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice is our spiritual worship. We offer our lives as living sacrifices by living a holy life of obedience to God, reflecting the holiness of Christ. Another way of honoring God is to spread the good news of the coming King. Say among the nation, the Lord reigns. That's what verse 10 says. The Hebrew word for nations means very specifically the Gentiles. Because from the perspective of Israel, nations, that means other than Israel itself, other than the Jews, Gentiles. So in our context today, we should proclaim God among unbelievers. The nations means here, it really refers to unbelievers. For those who are suffering from nasal allergy, like myself, you know what nasal allergy means? You react very easily to your surrounding condition. It could be temperature change, it could be pollution, right? Now, to those of us who suffer from nasal allergy, the lunar 7 month is very challenging. You know the lunar 7 month, there'll be a lot of people burning Jaws papers by the roadside, below HDB flats. And the air quality is badly affected. Actually, it's very uncomfortable, especially for people with nasal allergy. But the situation actually also reminds us that many people are longing for salvation. Right? Spiritually, they are hungry. That's why they do all these things. But they have not known Christ, which is also why they are doing that. Right? So whenever we sense that the air is polluted during 7 months, instead of complaining, let us not criticize them, but pray for them. They need the Lord. Ironically, in this era of information explosion, 3 out of 4% have never heard with understanding the gospel. Never heard with understanding that Christ is the only way to eternal life. Even more tragic, half the world population cannot hear because there is no Christian around them. Worship is not just a group of believers coming together to sing some hymns, to say some prayers, or even to minister among ourselves. A church is not an exclusive club for members only. If you remember, 2 years ago, the theme of our church was a church without walls. We need to welcome people from outside the Christian community to come and join us. Worship is not just for Christians, but it is also for the nations who have yet to know God. So finally, we want to declare God's glory, and we want to proclaim with anticipation, right? Not just proclaiming, but we want to do it with anticipation that Christ will return to reign as King, right? So if I come to the third and final segment of our sermon today, the urgency of proclaiming God, right? In the third section, we see the building up of another climax, right? Verses 11 to 12, it reads, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the sea resound, let all the trees of the forest sing for joy." Right? Now, verse 11 begins with a call for all creation to join in celebrating. Celebrating what? The coming of the King. Right? They were so joyous, they were anticipating, they were looking forward. That expressed the longing, not just for the King to come back, because with the King coming back to reign, that would mean a new order altogether. The transformation of creation upon the return of the Lord. To comfort people who are going through tough times, we sometimes hear people saying, "Tomorrow shall be better." But judging by the way things are, tomorrow will not be better. Just look around us. Global warming, geopolitical conflicts, disasters, social unrest, terrorism, the moral decline, dysfunctional families, and the list continues. Left on our own, the world is not getting any better. Our only hope is the establishment of a new global order when Christ returns to rule as King. In verse 13, it reads, "Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness." Now here you will notice that the words "he comes," they are repeated, right? Because it emphasizes the certainty and the longing for the Lord's return, right? In Psalms, the book of Psalms, when words are repeated, it is for emphasis. It affirms God's rule with equity, which includes the punishment of the ungodly as well as the deliverance of the godly. That's why people look forward to it. He will restore order in the world, and only Jesus can rule with absolute righteousness as the divine King who protects the powerless, who cares for the marginalized and the needy. This is a prophecy of the ultimate deliverance and the rule of Jesus when he returns. Some years back, I was in India to celebrate the dedication of the Kondadura Bible. And I was very shocked at that time when I was in India to realize that there were so many languages in India. In Singapore, we emphasize that we have four main languages. During National Day, we celebrated that. According to the Linguistic Survey of India, there are 780 languages. Can you imagine that? 780 languages. And it is estimated that up till now, at least one quarter of these languages need Bible translation. That means one quarter of them still do not have Bible in their own languages. Right? How can they ever believe and welcome Christ's return when they have not even heard of Christ? They have not even heard of Jesus. Perhaps we should ask ourselves, what is our attitude towards Christ's return? Very often we don't think about it. Do we look forward with great joy and anticipation? How are we preparing to receive Him when He comes back? We can't simply just sit and wait for His return while millions are still ignorant of the coming King, and they are headed towards condemnation. We are created to glorify God. Perhaps we may ask, what then will bring God the greatest glory? We just celebrated National Day 2 days ago. I don't know how many of you were there on site. Anybody? Nobody. Have you ever participated in a National Day celebration on site? Anyone? Ah, yes. Good. Yeah. And those of us who have participated, you will know what it is like to be there. The experience, right? And of course, it was glorious when people of Singapore coming together to celebrate National Day. Now, imagine what it would be like, as it was mentioned in the book of Revelations, when people of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, coming together to worship God. Can you imagine that? I think it's beyond imagination. The largest gathering that you can ever have, if you have ever experienced it, this is infinitely bigger. Can you imagine how glorious it would be for God? God receives the greatest glory with the fulfillment of His kingdom when He reigned as the King. At one of the wedding reception, I met a little girl. The girl was 5 years old. Very adorable little girl. And while I was chatting with her, she told me, "I'm very busy." 5-year-old girl. She said she was very busy. She explained why she was so busy. She said, "After this wedding, I need to go and go for my piano lessons in the afternoon." Right? A 5-year-old is already so busy. What about us? We are all very busy these days. Students face loads of assignments. Parents are concerned about raising their kids, providing for the family, As working adults, besides securing a job, we must keep up with the advancing technology and competing with AI. We felt so helpless. Where got time and energy for missions? Indeed, time is of the essence in our very fast-paced, high-tech economy. But do not forget that time is also running out for the unbelievers. Their time is running out. For billions of people who are dying without Christ, time is running out. Unless we show them the way of salvation, there is no hope for them. What a glorious day it would be when people of every nation, tribe, and tongue coming together to worship God. So let us bring God the greatest glory by expanding His kingdom, spreading the gospel, making disciples of all nations. Are you willing, if the Lord were to call you to serve in a cross-cultural setting, are you willing? Not all of us are called to be missionaries, but all of us can pray for missionaries. All of us can give our money to missionary to support mission work. And we can also do our part in fulfilling God's purpose in our profession as a witnessing Christian, wherever you are. At the beginning, I told you the story about the electric iron. Now, I want you to imagine. Imagine that you are an electric iron. Can you imagine that? Maybe quite difficult, but try. Imagine that you are an electric iron. And all your life, all that you do is heating up green bean soup. How tragic. How frustrating. We are called to glorify God wherever you are, in your profession, in your community. But before we can glorify God by spreading the word of the gospel, by making disciples of all nations, we ourselves must first be disciples. We need to be faithful followers of Christ. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, indeed you are worthy of glory. You are worthy of all the worship that the world can ever give to you. Indeed, we need to proclaim your glory. May you help us. Help us to do so through every aspect of our lives, that we may glorify you, that we may lead people to the saving knowledge of Christ, that people may come and become followers of the Lord Jesus, that your kingdom may expand, that your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.